just love and appreciate you with all our hearts. And we're, Lord, so happy when they said, come into the house of the Lord. Lord, we come to praise your wonderful name, Lord. Give you glory for all you've done for us. Lord, to hear thy word, grow from it. Lord, it's such a privilege and such a blessing, Lord, to be part of your family. We just ask you to bless this little service. Everything be done for your glory and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Page 4, our only believe. I love him. Gone from my heart, the world and all its joy. Now through the blood, I'm safe from all love. page 373, same book. Just praise and worship Him. Amen.
One, my heart and soul were fettered.
Thank you. Surely I will rise. search out today. Tomorrow just might be too late to try. Too late to make a change. Too late. The time did wait. Only we'd have given up the pleasures of this life. If only we'd have stopped and listened while we still had time. If only we'd have stayed at home and not one day it may find me, it's too late. It's time that we stop fussing with one another. The token now has got to be applied. Separate from world and all it offers. You may be walking here for the last time. Let him that have a wife be though he has none. Give up, surrender, run with all your might. Now's the time to heed the call and hearken. For he may just appear there in the sky. It'll be too late to make a change. Too late, the time did waste. If only we'd have given up the pleasures of life. If only we'd have stopped and listened while we still had time. If only we'd have stayed at home and not went out to play. One day it will finally be too late.
Amen. Let's all stand. We ask our pastor to come and sing a little chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, right and true. With them.
Let us all just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, again we very solemnly come before you this morning and ask again that you would open our hearts to your precious word. Lord, what a sober and serious time which we do live in, knowing that there's a great requirement for your people today, the very hour in which we live. And Lord, many do not take it serious, and many do not even have a clue to what you're doing, Lord. I noticed on the way to come to service, Lord, as many as we traveled the highway that was not honoring the day of your resurrection. Many out working, many at play, doing things, Lord, of their cares of life and entertainments. And Lord, I felt so bad for you. I thought, my, you paid this great price for us, and so few honor. Lord, today I trust that we'll be a people, a part of those people that'll honor the resurrection. Lord, this special day you've given us again, and may we be a people, Lord, that's hungry for the Word of God. Not worried about what I'm going to do today after we walk out the door, or what we're going to go eat. But Lord, may we be concerned about right now, the hour we live in, time. We ask that you'd place this upon our hearts and open our understanding into the Word, and that we'd be able to receive it. Again, we will give you truly all the glory for it and all the honor, because it's nothing that we could do in ourselves. Nothing at all. So we just commit ourselves into your hands and pray thy will be done now. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, just feel such a course with the message we're in, going back into this morning. And we appreciate the song the sister sang this morning. But we're going back into the message, the token now, after these last few weeks of what we brought. And trusting that God will deal with your heart on something in there that will be of strength, encouragement, and let you see where you stand in this hour. But let's turn to the book of Exodus, and let's read a couple of verses the prophet read in the message token. And we'll read verse 12 and 13. Amen. Exodus 12th chapter, 12th, 13th verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land, in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now may the Lord bless again the reading of his word, and you may be seated. You know, as the prophet said in before he read this scripture, he said, now solemnly and reverently we approach the word. And my, how true that is, that we solemnly and reverently approach this word. Again, noticing and kind of just to stir our remembrance, we've heard this message so many times, and probably, no doubt, you've sat down and listened to it as the prophet brought it. And it's been talked about, and as I said, ministered on, and so forth. And, you know, still, with you see the time and hour in which we live in, you still sometimes almost wonder what in has people received it as he said it would come to pass. And to me, as I said, as going back into these things and the little series we've been on the last few weeks, and you might wonder, well, why wouldn't you approach this first and then go through what you just went through the last few weeks ago? And talking about the soul and the nature of God and so forth, and how the nature of God will react in this day and how it will respond to things in life, our cares of life, troubles, problems, tests, trials, whatever it may be. But yet, if for some reason, I just felt to go into those things and then now into this token. And I think you'll see why. And as I said, it's a very, very serious message. And, you know, as I mentioned there the other night, you know, it's, you know, when the prophet got done preaching this, he told Billy Paul, he said, you know, he said there wasn't five people that received that and understood what he was talking about. And I wonder if today how many really received this and understood it and how serious it is to them. You know, it's, you know, when you compare, you know, the prophet spoke about eternal life. He said, I believe in eternal life. I believe in an eternal hell, or not eternal hell, eternal death, okay? And, but he said, I do not believe in eternal hell, which it can't be. So, you know, when you think about life and death in general, and eternal life, there's no end, you know? And then you think of our little puny few days we live in this life, you know, of living here, and we live in time, we call it time. And, you know, with some it may be, well, there's infants that die, and then there's, you know, right up childhood and clear up till maybe, I don't know what the oldest person is in the last 100 years has been, maybe a little over 100 years, 110, sometimes 115. And you think, even at that, of how short that time compares with an eternal life or eternal death, you know? And you think, my, it's just such a little speck of time. And tend to think, you know, with that, as in comparison of that eternal life, eternal death, in comparison this mortal life with that, of how short it is, and you think, you know, why can't we see the greatness of that? But like I believe it was Thursday night I mentioned too again about the, you know, but people just go on thinking they're going to live forever, you know. You know, you set them up, you know, they get in life and they maybe get a few years under their belt and they start getting to where they're a teenager and then they go into their early 20s and sometimes get in 40s, 50s and keep right on going, you know. Sometimes even old people think they're going to live forever, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, friends, this, again, to remind you, this mortal flesh, we know. You sitting there and me standing here, we know this mortal flesh is not going to live forever. It just ain't going to happen. I don't care what we do to it, what we do for it, it's not going to live forever. So we have such a short time to prepare for what God has placed us with the atmosphere or the knowledge that he has given us. He let us, sitting here, he let us understand there would be a prophet come for this age. And he spoke about Malachi 4, Revelation 10, all these different places, Luke 17, all these places he let us understand there'd be a prophet come for this hour. Okay, so we have the knowledge of that. And we have the knowledge that the message he would bring would take in, take care of and fix all the loose ends of not knowing things, is to say it the way we can understand. And we know that, we know and have the understanding times come to an end. We know it's wrapping up because of the signs of the time we see and what we see going throughout the land and all these different things. We know it's finishing up, it's getting close. Although, like I said, sometimes in our life we live like we're going to live forever, you know, in this life. We're going to build and buy and purchase and materialize and just keep gaining, like we're just going to be here forever and we're going to have this stuff forever when it's such a short time. And it's all such a waste. You know, and it's all going to burn up. It's going to melt. And then to have feelings for those material things. Feelings for it. You know, it's one thing to even be blessed with maybe having a few things, but to have that feeling toward it of, that's mine. That's my material. That's, I don't want nobody to touch it. I don't want nobody to do this with it. It's mine. I'm going to have this forever. You're not going to have it forever. No. It is going to come to naught. It is going to be completely waste. But the thing is, what do we feel on the inside? You know, what we do we know these things don't belong to us? That we're just have it for a temporal time? It's not even ours? No. As I've said before too, you know, you might have thought, well, you might have a nice home. And you might think, oh my, it's, and you might get it paid off. Might not owe anything on it. But when you really, really think about it, it still ain't yours. Because you keep paying your taxes, or you quit paying your taxes and see what happens to it. You know? It's just not yours regardless, even though it's paid for. You may have the loan paid off, but even in materially thinking, it still ain't yours. No. You say, well, I'll just keep paying my taxes on it. It'll always be mine. But what if the money shuts off and you can't pay the taxes? And taxes are getting very high anymore. Yeah. So what if that happens, you know? And it ends up in a sheriff's cell. So, but we're so minded of the cares of life. And it's so, such a worthless thing when you compare it with God, what God has offered us with the knowledge of what He's given us. What He's given us the understanding of is such a waste, these material things are. And how we should never feel that, my, that's precious to us. Or to the point we could never give it up. Now that's when you know it's went too far. When you don't feel you can give it up and it's too precious to you, you better get rid of it because it means too much to you. Yeah. When you come to the point you couldn't do God's will because of having that, you better get rid of it because it means way too much to you. Now you may think that, now Brother Steve's up here just rattling, you know, and he's just talking, but we can scripturally prove that. See, it's scriptural. So it isn't just me up here talking. It isn't me just saying some things, but it's truth. You know, and people are very material minded in this day. My, it's you know, if you touch their stuff or you would try to take it away, just look out. What do you think? A person maybe parks in a parking lot and they pull their nice shiny car in, you know, and somebody that don't care just wham, bangs their door into it, puts a great big old dent in it. And you begin to flare up. Oh, and you want to scream at the person. You want to really tell them off. Tell them they're so careless and all this. Just think. That automobile means way too much to you. Oh yeah, way too much. When it could be gone in a second. You see? Same way with a home. You know, we could have a home. And we may think that's our little domain, you know, and my, this is my precious little home. It can be gone in a second, you know. You say, oh, it can't be gone that quick. Even if it burnt, Brother Steve, I'd have time to get my stuff out if I'm there. If a tornado comes along, for instance, and takes it, it can be gone in a second. Yeah. Tornado comes through there and takes just the right turn. Whoosh, it's gone. It's scattered. It's gone. You know. So again, in comparison with eternal life or eternal death, what does this all mean to us? This life, this token. And I actually read something the prophet said in Thinking Man's Filter. This was August 22nd, 1965, paragraph 69. I believe in eternal death, same as I believe in eternal heaven, but not eternal hell. There is no such thing as eternal hell. There is, he said, there is an eternal death for the people, he says, many of them, religious. There's an eternal death for even for many people, he said. Religious people, he said. He said, has always, and they've always been dead. The woman that liveth in pleasure with her bobbed hair and painted face is dead while she is alive. The Bible said so. She may be religious, but she never was saved. She's got an outward motion. She might sing in the choir, or she might dance in the Spirit. She might speak in tongues and have all the manifestations of the Spirit. But unless that soul on the inside is God's daughter, she's gone, no matter what she does. So again, I wonder today, and now as we go into this token, and thinking about how that the children of Israel was faced with this situation, and God had let Moses know that, hey, you know, they've got together in the home, they must kill the lamb, they must paint the blood upon the doorpost. And if they don't do this, if they lack to do this, if they think something's more important, if they think that, no, this is going to mess up with my time, what I've got to do tomorrow, if things are just a little too important to do this, you just let them know that this death angel going through the land will smite every firstborn. And I'm sure probably most of us in here have a firstborn. And I'm sure they're probably important to you, I would think. You know, I would think you really love them and as you would any other children, but this in particular was the firstborn. And even beast. And so forth. So now here we find that here they're faced with this circumstance. You know, it's firstborn. And as I said, now, you may, me being a daddy, you know, I know what I feel about my firstborn. No, not only her, but both of them, all three of them, you see, what I feel about them. And I think, you know, I see people go through things that they go through and losing their children. And, you know, and it's like the situation here a while back, it's been a little while back that, you know, my neighbor had lost their daughter, you know. And I thought, I just can't imagine being put in a situation like that. You know, it just seems to be the natural way, as we would to speak, that the parents should die before the children. You know, it just kind of seems like a natural thing. But when you would see your child pass away or be killed, murdered, or die in a car accident or something like that, you think, my, talk about hard to handle. I mean, it'd really be hard. You know, it's hard to lose any of your loved ones. And, you know, even Jesus, when a friend of his died, he wept. You know, so it's kind of a normal thing to grieve when a loved one passes away. But you think, I was thinking of that and thinking about the neighbor and so forth. Like, how are they going through that? You know, that they don't have what I have. And how are they going through this, you know? How they are able to take this, you know, because that love is so strong. So you can kind of see the effect of what these children of Israel was thinking about when Moses given the commandment to do this. And to think if they don't do this, and now they was listening to that prophet. You know, they knew it was God's prophet. And if he told them to do it, they'd better do it, you know. And I thought, you know, I'm going to lose my son or I'm going to lose my daughter if I don't do this. And with haste, in which they told them to do it with haste. And then with haste, they begin to move and to gather these animals and to kill them and to do everything Moses told them to do. And they knew if they didn't, they knew they was going to lose their firstborn. And they didn't want that to happen. They didn't want to happen. Well, God has shown us today, as using that for a type of the prophet's message, he showed us today that if a token in our own individual life, I don't know about you, but even if, let me ask you this, even if you know you're saved, which I'm sure there's some here that knows they're saved, and you've got the new birth, probably still you don't want to just die today. I mean, it's just natural you want to live. You know, I mean, I'm sure you just don't want to die. I know sometimes we go through things maybe in life, and sometimes maybe me being kind of nutty, you know. Maybe I've been through some things like, Lord, I'd just rather die. Just take me, Lord. Sometimes I've felt that way before I even get up and preach a message. I said, Lord, just take me. I'd rather not even do this. And I just, but as an overall, you just want to live. It's natural. And if you begin to die and something happens and you're struggling for life, maybe you've been shot, maybe you've been in a bad car accident or something, it's just natural for you to try to struggle for life. Try to get that breath. Regardless of what you're going through, it's just natural. If you've seen somebody sitting close to death and they're struggling for life, it's just natural they want to struggle for that breath, that life, to keep life in them. You know? So even at that, even with what we've been faced with, we've been given a message. We've been given a knowledge of this life and the life which we're in and living in. And the surrounding of a prophet sent, a message came. Even with that, how we should be so serious with this. But it seems like the things in life keep choking it and keep strangling it, that we cannot grasp the seriousness of it. Now, the children of Israel grasp the seriousness of it. They've seen how serious it was, so that's why they killed that lamb. That's why they've done everything Moses told them to do. Told them to kill that lamb and not let anything remain in the morning. Burn it. Don't let anything remain of it. Make sure it's good and cleaned up and done, gone. Burn up what you couldn't eat. The blood was placed exactly like he said. And I wonder how concerned or how real this is to us in with what the children of Israel did and the way we handle today. Have we received a message that's so great and so tremendous and so outstanding, so powerful, that when we hear about a token, must be on display, and then to hear what the prophet said it should be, what it is in our life, that token. How are we taking it as an individual today? Is it that serious to us? Is it that important? He tells us in what God's requiring, and this is death for ourselves. I mean, we're going to die and have an eternal separation from God. If it ain't like he said. Now, could you imagine if we was told the word came today? And God's prophet would come up here and stand today and bring forth a message. And say, now I'm going to tell you. If this token ain't on display, I am going to kill your firstborn. I wonder how many go on their knees immediately and begin to pray and cry out to God. If God's confirmed, vindicated prophet, knew he was the prophet of the age. We'll just say, if Brother Branham stand up here, come back and stand up here today. And my, that would be a tremendous miracle to see him stand there today again. And if maybe God would give you eyes to see that tongue of fire hanging over his shoulder again, or hanging over his head. And then him stand up there with that stern, narrow-eyed face and look and point you right in the face and say, your firstborn will die tonight if this token isn't on display. If you don't have a literal life of Jesus Christ in you, your firstborn's going to die. Well, you talk about a people I'm no doubt would probably be really begin to reconsider and making sure and really thinking about this and heavenly laying on their minds and thinking about this. I'm sure you just wouldn't walk away and just think, oh, you know, I ain't going to worry about this. This is good. I got it whipped. You might begin to sit there and think, you know, I shouldn't have talked that way to that man on the job yesterday. You know, I probably shouldn't have just kept breaking those laws of the land, flying down the highway when it said 55, I was doing 75, didn't care, didn't give a hoot. I probably shouldn't have presented that thing to my brother like I did and make him and belittle him right to his face. I should have never done that. I should have never stood up against my husband like I did. I should have never disrespected my wife like I did. I should have made my children obey instead of just tell them not to do it and just keep telling them not to do anything about it. I should have done something about it. I'm sure probably there's going to be something, the things that we don't overcome would come and face us right in the face. And we begin to think, maybe. And think, Lord, as that prophet stands up there and tells me he's going to take my firstborn, the death angel is going to strike in my home, and my firstborn is going to die tonight if I don't have this token. You ain't going to sit there and tell me somebody in here wouldn't do some soul searching. I'm going to tell you right to your face, whether you want to be a liar about it or tell the truth about it, somebody in here be a soul searching. Yeah, you would. I don't care how big you are, what you know, how little you know, or what you are, what your name is, what your standing is. I'll assure you, there'd be somebody in here flying to their knees as fast as they could go, and they wouldn't be worrying about what they're going to do tomorrow on the job. Guarantee they wouldn't. No. Guarantee you wouldn't. But why is this when we're dealing with our own self? My own soul. That I'm crusted over with something. That I'm blinded to something I cannot see. Why is this? I assure you, if you knew your firstborn was going to die, you wouldn't even worry about trying to get on Facebook when you walk out of here. I assure you, you wouldn't even be thinking about your phone. Looking on a computer, see what you can buy. I can assure you, it would never cross your mind. But God sent a prophet today in this hour, and he left a message. And people come in and they hear the word, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've listened to it. They've heard it on tape, they've heard it on disc. They've listened to the priest. They've talked about it. You see them. Their eyes are crusted. The rest seems to be of none effect. For their own well-being. Something don't seem to strike. Why is it? How can it be? See, I don't know. This wasn't even what I was going to preach on. That's what we're talking about, the token. Yes, I am. But all intentions was to go a different direction with it this morning. Am I crazy? Maybe. I don't know. Let's read. And a token. Now down here that we're speaking of, we're starting in, is God saying to Israel, the blood of the Lamb is a token for you. Israel lamb slain was Jehovah's required token. It's required today. Whether we want to believe it or not, whether we want to accept it or not, it is required today, a token. Okay. It must be the blood. God made a token and gave it to Israel. And no other token will work. It cannot be recognized. There's nothing else at that time he's showing us that will be recognized. Now they may have come up with their dyes, mixed some dyes up, and come up with maybe green. And they could have painted green on the doorpost. And they might have went out and killed a fish. But that was not what God required. Today, people keep trying to come up with something just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. And think that's what God requires. But I'm going to tell you, God gave the exact instructions of what He requires. And nothing else is going to take its place. It has to be His life or nothing else. Nothing else. But we'll say, oh, I know what His life is. And I'm giving Him my life and everything. But then all these things in life mean way more to us than what He ever come close to being. When we get up out of bed, and the first thing on the mind is about what you're going to do that day. Is it really about how nice you can make that home? Huh? Or is it how much money you're going to make that day? Is that your first love? Well, one of these days, services, I'd like to minister on first love again, one of these days. If the Lord were willing and tarries not live. But is that the first love? Now, the thing of it is, regardless of what the mouth may say, your imagination, reasoning, conscience, affection, all those things are controlled by what's on the inside. And you ain't changing it. There's only one going to change it, and that's God Himself. So if it's thinking about all these material things and how much it means to you, how important it is to you, you say, well, I'm going to tell you what, brother. Brother Branham had a room full of guns and high-dollar guns and nice guns and nice hunting equipment. But I'm going to tell you what, his life proved that didn't mean that to him. That's right. They tried to put him in this nice fancy house, you know, and everything fixed up. No, he said, it's not for me. Nice fancy pretty door on it and everything. Oh, it looks so beautiful. He said, it's not for me. No. Showed that it didn't mean all that to him. Sure, he'd talk about old Blondie and that, you know, Rifle Blondie and all that. But his life showed many times, friends, that if he seen somebody in need, he could give it to them. And he would. Yeah. He showed and proved that no home meant that to him. No. No. But we've got to have everything just so. Nothing wrong with having something nice. By no means, nothing wrong with it. But what do we think about it on the inside? What do we feel about it, you know? Oh, that I've got to have this way, and I've got to have it that way, and I want everything just exactly this, that, and the other. You know? But deep down inside, could you get rid of it tomorrow? Huh? Or does it mean too much to you? Many a people down through the ages has not done the will of God because material meant too much for them. And to them, many has missed the mind of God. You see? Are we here to live forever? And to gain and gain and gain? Don't we realize our life is a vapor? We may sit there and think, I'm going to gain and to get this, and I'm going to work toward this and get this and the other, and gain some more and gain some more. But don't you realize today could be your last day, as the sister said. So easily could be. Yeah. It's like this COVID thing going around, you know? I have a friend. He just lost his mother over it. Only a few months different to my mother. An age. Just lost his mother. Another church, a pastor stopped in the shop, and he was telling me there's a church down south there that just lost 4 people in their congregation with COVID. a place he had just visited. He's had to quarantine himself now because where he went, they had COVID. Yeah. And now, generosity, he's quarantined himself. You see? But things can happen so fast. Yeah. I mean, things just overnight. I mean, you could have a heart attack. My neighbor, I just lost my neighbor. He had a heart attack. You know? And I think, but we just think we're going to live forever. I repeat, I want you to get that. We got this attitude, I'm telling you, we're just going to live forever and everything's going to be fine and I'm going to struggle through life and I'm going to gain this and I'm going to get that. We just cannot grasp that mortal place in life versus eternal life, eternal death. Of how small the speck it is. And look at the opportunity God has given us. Gave us the message. Gave us the understanding of what is required. And it just don't seem to be penetrating. But again, as I said, if he would tell us today that tonight your firstborn is going to die, if you don't apply that token, my, I just wonder what would happen. I wonder what these young people do. If they're, that angel come forth, that messenger come forth and say, your parents both are going to die tonight if you don't apply this token, what would you do? Would it begin to strike something in, or would you just be as dead and dried up and nonchalant as many people are today about when they hear this message token? That you wouldn't care. I got a life ahead of me. Yeah, maybe. And even if you do, it may not be very long. Some reason we must go back to that. Listen. Pay attention, saints. To the world, this token he's talking about is a bunch of foolishness. I'm going to tell you this morning, friends, there's people in this message that this token message is a bunch of foolishness. Yeah, it is. But to God, it's the only way and the only thing that He requires is that token. I thought He required a lot more than that. No. It's the only thing He requires. Because if you got that, everything else falls right in line. You're able to receive the Word, believe the Word begins to live, it begins to express, all problems are taken care of then. All the requirements is done when you get the token. The channel is open, now it begins to uncover, and everything folds right in where it's got to be when you get that token. You see? But to the world is foolish, but to God it's the only way. It's the only thing He requires is that token. It must be there. And you cannot have the token until the fare is paid. Then you are a possessor of the token, which gives you the privilege of a free pass. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What a time. What a privilege to know that you pack within you the pass. What a privilege. If you know, I repeat, if you know. Now, add this to it. If it's vindicated in your life, you pack the pass. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the only thing that He will recognize. Now again, what if He would tell us today, the only thing I'm going to recognize is my literal life expressed in you. Or your firstborn is dead tonight. Would you pray? Would you even consider it? Would you even really take the time now to reconsider and do some real searching? and praying to make sure? Why can't you do that for your own well-being? For your own soul? Why? What is this blockage? Why can't people see it? Why does it not strike? Why is it just a message that I've heard many times, brother? You ain't preaching nothing new. I hope I ain't. I hope I'm staying exactly what that prophet said. See? But I hope something will be said to strike on the inside that you'll make sure. Yeah. It's nothing else that it can take. There's nothing else can take its place. No substitute. None. No different colors. No different beast. No nothing. It has to be exactly what God said. Exactly. No denomination, no nothing else. It takes that. See, God said, that alone will I see. He's used this about the blood and type, the children of Israel, of what he's going to say about the token. I hope he received the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. No matter how righteous they was, or how good they was, or how much education they had. Now listen to these things. How they dressed. Oh yeah. Well, she's sure a godly looking little saint. My, she is so dressed so fine. My, she's so modest, and she doesn't show nothing of her body that cause a man to lust after her. But she goes home, and she stands right up to her father, her husband's face, and tells her what it is and the way it's going to be. She might as well put a mini skirt on and go right out in the world because she ain't no different. No matter how righteous they was, or how good they was, or how much education they had, or how they dressed, the token was the only thing. When I see the token, I'll pass over you. The blood was a token that the requirement of Jehovah had been, or that it had been met. It had been done. The blood stood for a token. The blood was the token, see, the life. All right? But in the glorious place, he said, in this glorious place, under this covenant, there's a difference between the blood and the life. The token for the believer today is green paint, purple paint. No, it's alive. The token for today is saying, I believe. No, the devil believes too. The token today is saying I was baptized in water. I obeyed Acts, second chapter. I got baptized in water. Excuse me. Is that what he requires? It goes with it. But the requirement today, he says, let's back up. But in this glorious place under the covenant, there is a difference between the blood and the life. The token for the believer today is the Holy Ghost. Not a blood, a chemistry. No, not a blood, not a chemistry. But it is the Holy Spirit of God. That is the token God requires of the church today. God must see the token. He must see it in every one of us. Now, what if he'd say, what if he came today, the prophet come back today, as I talked about a little bit ago, what if he came back today and stood up here and pointed right at you and say, if it don't get to him today, your son, your daughter is dead tonight. Your mother, your dad is dead tonight. Again, what would begin to click through our mind? How come these things don't click? When you hear it brought back and stir your minds to remembrance, and you sit there and you don't have the Holy Ghost. What's the problem? Is there seed in there? Or are you letting the cares of life choke you so out you ain't getting nowhere. What will it take? Will it take God putting you in a situation to put you on your deathbed? Is it going to take that? Sometimes God's had to do that. Sometimes God had to allow many different things happen to people in life to get them to wake up. Yeah. Why can't you just forget about your home, your car, and what you're going to do tomorrow, and just open your heart and say, Lord, won't you talk to me? Because you might go home today and your home won't be there. It might have been done burn up. Thieves might have broke in and stole everything you had. What are you going to do then? Get mad and grab your gun and go buy a gun and try to hunt for these thieves and try to shoot them? Therefore, as the evening shadows are appearing, and truly they have, and the wrath is ready to be poured out from on high and upon the ungodly nations. I read this the other day. And upon the ungodly unbelievers. Now, an unbeliever, friends, one do not believe it. Do we sit here today not believing it? Do you not believe what I'm up here reading? Do you not believe what I'm talking about? But yet you sit there and you want to listen, but yet you don't believe it. You don't think it's that serious? Professors without a possession. Oh, many of them. Upon these things, you see, and I've tried to unfold myself and live right among it to see where it was standing before I said these things. Remember, friends, that prophet is a living example. Yes. He was a living example of that token. There's not very many people you can look around and find that today. It's very few. Now we are living in the shadows, and the wrath is ready to strike. And God is requiring a token of you, yourself, that have received His token, the Holy Ghost. It's the only way and the only sign that God will ever pass, because it is the literal life of Jesus Christ returned back into the believer. Wow. The animal life could not return back. Talk about the day when they had to place the blood upon the literal blood upon the doorpost. Therefore, blood had to be placed on the door, upon the lintel of the post, upon the post of the door, that every passerby, the whole public, or you one of these people that I mentioned before, and it's happened before. You're a believer and you're a Christian, you call yourself. You call yourself born again. And maybe you went in the bank and they shortchanged you a little bit. You go out and count your money and it's a little bit short. And you walk back in really hot-headed. You shorted me. Where's your manager? We'll get this straightened up. And get it straightened up now. Where is your token? And tell me what you loved the most. That money, which is the root of all evil? Or was it Jesus Christ, to let Christ be on display at that moment? What was it? What was it when the man on the job began to tell his filthy jokes, something unclean, and then you wanted to get involved to show the men that you knew one too, and you had one for him? Huh? wants to be publicly, and every passerby is to be on display. Yeah? Well, when was the last time you got aggravated because somebody cut you off in your automobile? And then you looked at them in the face and give them a fist. Huh? What is your every action? As I told a brother yesterday, I said, every action is to display Christ. Declare Him. Christ's mystery God revealed. Every action was to declare Him. Have we come to that point? Every action declares Him. Oh, Lord. Every passerby, the whole public, everybody coming by the house. Just as they walked by, if you would have been back at that time, you'd be able to walk by the children of Israel, and they obeyed the commandment, and they had that blood upon the doorpost. Every doorpost you could walk by, you'd see that blood painted on that doorpost. Everybody walking by. What about us? Knew that there was a sign on that door. Everybody passing by knew there was a sign on that door. That blood. That a life had died at that door. And that's the way it has to be with every believer today. Every believer. Young person, does mommy and daddy see you every time you pass by? Do they see that token? Do they see the life of Christ? When they ask you to take the trash out, do you have something to smart off? You never make Henry do it. Huh? And then you want to say you're born again? You have a token? But just remember, everybody passing by, whether it's mom, dad, whoever it is, must see that token on display. Everyone. You see? The way it is with every, he sets the way it is with every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost. A token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that life that was in the Lamb, has returned back and is publicly sealed in there. Remember here a few weeks ago I was telling you, everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. Yeah. Some people may not understand what it is, but everybody's going to see it. Yeah. That everybody passing by, repeats. Everybody passing by. Have you got your buddy on the job with you? Oh, stop sign coming up. Look both ways, just keep right on moving. And your buddy's sitting right there beside of you. And he knows what you proclaim as to being a real, real Christian. A real believer of the entire message. And he sits there and thinking, though he may not say a word to you, he's sitting there thinking, this ain't real either. Says he is. She says she is, but it ain't real either. Yeah. Just another fake. Just another hypocrite. You realize how many people won't even come close to going to a church because of the hypocrites and the hypocrisy they see in people that claims to be Christians? Yeah. And as I said before, you goof up one time in front of them and it takes a long time for them to ever forget about it. They want to hold it against you all the time. So when you just think you can just flub this up and do this and not care about this, that, and the other, and just keep flubbing up, just remember, it'll be a long time. They're going to have to really see you go through a soul change before they start believing you again. Because you ain't got it now. No. Publicly sealed in there and everybody passing by, talking to you, has any associates with you, seeing that the blood has been applied and a token of the life that was in the blood is upon you. He said, now, you're safe from wrath. Oh my. Now when you can see that vindicated in your life and see that you're the overcomer, see that your life's changing, Now you're free from wrath. It's the same as that blood painted upon that doorpost. Now you've got it. The death angel ain't going to strike. You've got it now. Oh my. But why can't people see the seriousness of it? Why not? I'll try to close here shortly. I'm just about done for this morning. It's been the Lamb all the way through. It was the Lamb in Luther's time. It was the Lamb in Wesley's time. But now it's the token time that each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that's inside of it must be covered by the token. That's what he's going to say now. And the house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. Ah. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. And by one Spirit, we are all baptized into that body. Yeah. Into this token. And become part of it. God said, when I see this token displayed, I'll pass over you. Death won't strike. What an hour we're now living in. A blood identified the believer because the life had gone out and could not come back. So he said it had to have a chemistry then. He had to have a paint, a blood, a chemistry that showed a life went out from it. Now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood. The blood was shed at Calvary, that is true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it come, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside that blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. If it was, he skips here, stops, says, the chemistry had no life in it itself, and therefore it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell. Then cell after cell, then it became a man, and that man was God, Emmanuel in flesh. But when that life returned back, the chemistry went to it. But the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. They see Christ. I wonder sometimes, can we really grasp that? They see Christ. And I know maybe in closing, maybe some of you think, oh, brother, I've got it. Don't worry about me. But what if we don't do what this word says we would do with that token? Do we see it then passing by? Do we see it in associates together? Do we see it when you're out in public? Is it seen when everybody that's passing by you, do they see it? Oh my. Saints, there's so many times people think they can hide things. And you're going to hide it. It's impossible to hide it. God give us many examples to show that you can't hide anything and get by with it. Didn't he even talk about Ananias and Sapphira? He sure did. Ananias and Sapphira thought they would surely get by with this. Nobody knew anything about this. We're going to tell them we sold this for such and such, but we're going to hold back this, and nobody's going to know anything about this. Now, do you think it was Peter that knew? The Holy Ghost knew and revealed it to Peter. So, the Holy Ghost ain't died. He's just as alive today as he ever was. And he knows everything about us. And though you may do something in the secret, friends, remember one day it's going to be shouted on the housetop. Yes, it'll be shouted on the housetops. And we may go along for a long time and thinking, nobody knows. I can do this and get by with it. Nobody will ever find out. But just remember, God already knows. Yeah. And He knows our hearts. He knows whether we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that gives it. He knows whether that soul has been changed or not, because He's the one that kills the old soul, that old nature. He's the one that does it. Yeah. So if anybody knows it's been done, God knows it's been done. But the only thing of it is us as people, human beings, that's been placed with all this glorious, precious message that we've been placed with, the people know whether you have a token or not. Yeah. Because it displays itself everywhere you pass by. Publicly, it's even publicly sealed. Yeah. Every passerby knows. That's what it's there. We can say all kinds of things with the lips. As he said, professors without possession. Yeah. When things come up and we get all riled up, we know that ain't Christ. No, that ain't Christ. But our excuse is, but they shouldn't have done that to me. That made no difference. Look what they've done to him and he riled not up. They falsely accused him. They hung him on a cross even. They spit on him. Mocked him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. And he opened not his mouth. And today, people can do little things to us. And we flare up like a big puffer fish. With spines sticking everywhere out on us, and we're just ready to just devour. Because somebody done something just a little bit that crossed us. And that was the prime opportunity for Christ to be on display. And we do just opposite. Oh my. When you go to the restaurant and you order a steak, and it comes out totally opposite of what you ordered, what is going to be your actions? Huh? Oh, I've seen so-called believers. Notice I call them so-called believers. Get so upset and made that poor little waitress look like a pile of dirt in front of the public. And it wasn't even her fault. I feel sorry for your steak when it comes back the next time, because this lava will have a big spitball on it. I've known of it happening, friends. I've had people work at restaurants and tell me they did it. Yeah. I had a man tell me he delivers pizza, and I'm not talking about Brother Glenn's place either. A pizza shop in Lancaster, he works there. And if he didn't get the tip, he said, I'll guarantee the next time they got their pizza, I spit on it. They didn't give me a tip. I know for a fact. Was that worth your hot head trying to prove you're this, that, and the other? I'm talking about people call themselves Christians. I call you hypocrites. That's what I call them. Hypocrites. They're a stumbling block to Christianity. And yet, they'll go around with a suit and a tie on, go to church on Sunday, and think they're really something. There's something will be made known one of these days. Yes. I know, saints, I have a strange way of bringing things compared to what I've heard many times. But I'm trying to shake people to get them to see. I'm throwing every rock I can, every stick I can to try to wake them up. If I can smack them right on the head, so be it. To keep from going over that great fall. I've tried everything I know to do. I don't want to have to stand on that day and hear that voice say, why didn't you tell him? I want to be able to say, Lord, I told him. I tried all I knew. All I knew to do. What else was I supposed to do? And then maybe him say, I know you did, son. I know you did. I'd rather stand in that position before God than him to say, you didn't tell him. Why? Why didn't you tell him? You knew the truth. I showed you. I let you see things. Why didn't you tell him? I don't want to stand on that day and say, I didn't want to do it. Because it bothered me. Yeah, it bothers me sometimes to say things I say. But I want to stand before him on that day and say, it didn't bother me, or it bothered me and I just didn't want to say nothing. Then what good was you? I called you for that purpose. What good was you? But, oh God, let me stand before you with a perfect heart and a righteous heart. Saints, listen to his word. Pay attention to it. We haven't much time left. There may not be very many more services. Who knows? There could be something else happen. Corona could get worse, and they'll shut us all down. And maybe never open back up. Maybe the mark of the beast begin to really press and push and really begin to get things wound up. Yeah. And you won't have these opportunities no more. But today is the day of salvation. Don't give your life to the world and cares of life. It's not worth it. As nice a place you may have, is absolutely worthless. Worthless. When it comes between your soul and that where you live, what you own, what you do in life, what job you have, it's worthless, friend, when it comes to comparison. We thank God for these things. We thank God for these, blessed us with things that he has. But my warning to you, in closing, do not let it devour you. Do not let it devour you. You'll hear that again one day on the day of judgment. You was told. If you refuse to listen. I know I can't offer you what the prophet offered you. I can't offer you mighty signs, wonders, and miracles, and lights hanging over my head. I can't offer you that. But I do have something to offer you, and that's truth. And re-offer you what he wrought, a prophet. Amen. May God bless us and help us and so stand. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Kind Father, again we thank you so much for your word. And how, Lord, it truly strikes within our hearts. How it stirs something inside, Lord, to know that it's just about over with. And there was something you required in this day that a prophet you sent brought many years ago, but many of still have not taken heed to the call. Oh, Lord, while we have time, in this last few moments of time, may we open our hearts, Lord. May you open them to help us, Lord, to see. Give us understanding. Give us a greater desire, Lord, a greater hunger. Let us see how serious this is. I ask that you take these few words we spoke today and some of the few little examples we put in with it, Lord, that we'll let it do a little work down inside, Father, that will stir. Maybe that last little seed may come to life, Lord. So we ask that you would bless us as we leave this place and watch over us, guide us, keep us in your care, Lord. And may we truly, through your help, Lord, love Jesus most of all. May that be the love of our life, you, Lord. Your precious word and all that you are, your Holy Spirit, all that you are, Lord. We ask in your glorious, precious name, watch over us, Lord. Keep those safe that have to travel. And we'll give you again the praise and the glory for it. In your most precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.